Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. Today, do we have Beast Mode in the house? We've got George Rogers. He's championing your culture. He's the Chief Culture Officer for Lighthouse Research and Advisory Culture of Good. He is a renowned speaker. He's an author of an incredible book. And he also is a co-host for a podcast, Champion Your Culture. And it is in itself phenomenal. If you haven't hopped on that one, you need to hop on that train. So jacked to have you, buddy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. That was a great welcome. And I'm just glad to join you today and chat a little bit.
Yes, we are going to crush it. You have definitely got the juice, friend. You and your co-host of your podcast. He's been on our podcast in previous years. What a beast he is as well. And what a pair. I love it. And speaking to him beforehand, I tried to dig up a little dirt on you. And man, I guess there's a lot of it. I don't know if we can share it all on here.
40 years of dirt. It's a lot of it. So you just got to pick your pile.
That's right. I will try to pick our poisons carefully here. No, you are, man. You are the guy that makes everyone around you better. One conversation at a time, one moment at a time, one workplace at a time. And you have quite the story. Your story is really filled with a lot of reasons one might think to quit. You are kind of the true example of success isn't linear. The beast you are today and the beast that you're becoming, a lot of people may have just rolled over. And you've described your journey as beautiful chaos. Can you just kind of give us the Cliff Note version of what is it about your story that has helped you create the rock star that you are today? And why would you term it beautiful chaos?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, life is beautiful, even in the painful moments. I kind of look at life as a rose. It's very beautiful, but it also has thorns. It also comes from the ground and it's dirty. And that beautiful thing can be painful at times too. Like, we're always excited about the rose, but can we be thankful for the thorns? And that's just life's journey. We have pain moments. We have moments that stick, that hurt more. But through it all, I believe there's opportunities wherever there's opposition. And it's just a perspective and a mindset that I've learned to have over the course of life. Because if we allow the environments that we come from to dictate our outcomes, we're not truly being ourselves. And so over the course of my life, whether it's growing up without a father in the household, whether it's growing up and being adopted into a white family as a Black kid, but having a fatherly love from a man that does not necessarily look like me, but gives me something that I've never felt before. And that was genuine love and acceptance and respect for who I was, where I was at that moment in my life. And so over the course, man, it's just a beautiful chaos where there's always something going on, but I choose to find beauty within the midst of that opposition and lead my life that way. And so, being able to have that opportunity in the middle of that, my beautiful chaos, and maybe that's the next book. Maybe that's something that comes next is, as we find the chaos that our lives are someone in, how do we, redefine based on what people may say or think perception-wise, how do we really define who we are? And that's kind of the life I choose to live. And through that, I've discovered that we champion our purpose that way as well.
So good. So do you believe that success is choice or chance?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this is the challenge. You make a choice either way, right? Whether you make a choice to go somewhere or stay. And I believe that life is a series of choices, not chances. Now, some of the choices that I made as a younger kid, man, George, you might have took a chance on that one, right? There's that thought that, man, you're crazy for taking that chance. But really, it was a choice, whether that choice inside of me said I can do it or whether that choice said I was not going to allow fear to hold me back. Life is a series of choices, not chances.
Oh, that's good. So I have a family member who was a high school dropout, pregnant twice before 18, ran with a rough crowd, dealt stuff she shouldn't have been dealing, a lot of stuff. Eventually got thrown in prison. A lot of reasons to just throw in the white towel, and she's crushing it now. And I think if you spoke with her, she would talk about how while she would not want to repeat all of that stuff again, it's also built fearlessness into her. Yeah. And taught her how to overcome struggle and obstacles. something you two have in common.
Yeah.
You speak to people every day. You keynote on these topics, maybe not those specific things, but you're talking about creating a culture. And inside any business, you've got a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of people you have to meet where they're at, but where they're at is a bunch of different places. So yeah. How do you teach people inside those workplaces, inside those relationships, to overcome the obstacles that they're no doubt going to have, because they're just, we're all built a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think at first, when I think of workplace cultures and even individual, right? For me, it all stems with leadership. And one thing that I believe is that leadership first begins with self-leadership. Before George can lead you, before George can lead a company or organization, George has to lead himself, right? And so when I think of leadership, and I define leadership a little bit different, John Maxwell, the greatest, he's like the guru of leadership, right? He simplifies leadership, and I believe in it. And I recall, I believe 2003, when I first met John Maxwell, Phoenix, Arizona Leadership Conference, he said, you know, in his deep, deep voice, leadership is influence, right? Yeah. Leadership is all about influence, and it is. I define it personally as leadership is love, grace, and trust. That's, to me, where it starts. So when we talk about creating a culture of good, when we talk about impacting the workplace culture, it starts with leadership. We all know that leadership, you know, everything rises and falls with leadership. And it's not necessarily just leadership within a director, manager, C-suite, right? We're all leading something. If leadership is what John Maxwell said, influence, there's good influence, there's bad influence, right? But before you can lead others, before you can change your culture, you must first be able to change yourself. And inside of those things, I always ask people, when it comes to self-leadership, is to answer four questions. Who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? And who do I want to be when I finally get there? And those are questions that I've answered along my journey, right? To be able to champion my purpose. Part of the book is that the first chapter is all about leadership and self-leadership. The end of the book is wrapping all those things up, being able to define who you are, what you want, where you're going. And then when you finally get to where you want to be, who do you want to be when you get there? Because over the course of life, George today is not the George from 3 months ago, or the George from 10 years ago, or the George that was a teenager wanting to be a sports star, right? That journey has changed. And with those oppositions, with those thorns across my rows, you know, I've been able to adapt and do those things. And so I believe we got to really lead the life we love. We got to first start with us. That's the sum of life. And the most important thing that we can do is lead yourselves. And then that's where the impact in workplace culture comes from.
Booyah. Those are great questions. Love it. I'm a big who guy. Do you believe that success is a destination? Just because I hear you speaking and you're talking about, like, who do you want to be at the end type. Do you believe there is an end, or do you believe we're always becoming?
That's a good question. I look at success differently, right? Success to me is when you find a need and you meet that need, right? And so anybody, and when I say anybody, a homeless person on the side of the road can be successful, right? A business owner, obviously there's a state of success for them to get to where they are. To be successful, find a need and meet the need. Whether that's, hey, there's a need to pick up trash on the side of the road or at the company, organization, pick that trash up, put it where it belongs. That is a sign of success. You found a need, you met it. And so when it comes to success and what you really define it as, I personally believe I can't allow others to dictate what success looks like for me, because what success looks like for you may be totally different than where I project success. And a lot of times we look at success from the perspective of others, and then that's where failure, that's where doubt, that's where uncertainty, that's where we at times feel bad about ourselves, because what others look like when it comes to success is not where we're living. And so we feel like, man, my life is worthless. I'm not successful. When in fact, you can be successful. You just got to look at it from your perspective. And so success changes. Who you are today is just a part of that journey. Who you want to be may not be complete until, you know, that last breath, right? We're always becoming a better version of ourselves in hopes, right? We are hoping to become a better version of ourselves. Yesterday, I probably didn't move forward in my life, right? But I'm okay with that, because it's okay not to be okay. At times it's okay to have a bad day,
right?
But success is giving it one more chance. It's that, you know, being able to throw in the towel to me has been so rewarding. To be able to quit something has been rewarding. Like, I have something to quit. That's success. When you can give up, but you choose not to, and you give it one more day.
Oh, that's really good. I love that. I got to say, you are a man of phenomenal shoes. Shoes. Shoes are a big deal to Rogers Nation. I see some in the background there slaying it. Those look good. What is it about shoes that stirs your juice tank? And how does that kind of tie in with who you are?
That's a good question. I have a shoe love. I won't say addiction. It's no longer an addiction. It's a passion.
Okay.
It's a journey. But I just believe shoes at a very early age for me meant a lot growing up. They tend to tell a story. They have a story within themselves. For me, I have several hundred pairs of shoes. Sneak that in there. But every shoe, there's like a purpose behind it, right? I got a pair of shoes that you see here. These shoes, for instance, and these shoes here, I bought because I needed a white pair of shoes. And my kid, Dexter, bless his heart, you know, he's playing with these, and he started ripping my shoe. But little did I know, this whole shoe is Velcro.
How about that?
Shout out to Nike on these shoes. They sent me a whole patch replacement so I can have all white, I can have all black, or I can have orange patches. But these shoes, I use these shoes a lot. When I'm speaking about diversity, equity, inclusion, I'm speaking about unity. Because, you know, as you can see, these shoes come apart. We all have a place, right? We all have a journey. You may not be able to walk in my shoes. You may not be able to experience the things that I've experienced. But together, we can do life together, right? We can have a journey together. And so when it comes to diversity, we may not look the same. We may not talk the same. We may not be from the same lifestyle. But that does not mean that we cannot do this walk together. And so when I talk about in my shoes, you bring a pair of shoes, especially on the keynote, it's really about how do we come together. The method may be different, but the message of life is to love, right? To be unified for a greater cause, for a greater purpose. I can't walk in your shoes. I don't know what you experience, and I don't want to, right? We always say, man, I want to be like that person, but we don't know what it's like to be that person and the hell that they had to grow through to grow to who they are today. And so I'm careful when I used to look up to other people. I used to say, I want to be like them. And then my dad said, do you want to go through the hell that they went to get to where they were? And probably the answer to that is probably not, but I can be a part of that journey and walk with purpose, live with love, grace, and trust with that person. And so when I think of in my shoes, they all have a story just like we do. And we all have a purpose.
That is really good. I love it. You know, I think about shoes and not every shoe is a good fit. Like not every shoe fits the same. The same shoe, I might be a size 12, but maybe a size 12 in this shoe doesn't fit me, but it fits you. Yeah. I know that you're not a fan of cultural fit. I mean, when people bring up, well, I'm looking for a culture fit. You believe in add-ons.
Yeah.
Can you talk to our audience about the difference there? Like, why shouldn't they be looking for a cultural fit? Why should they be looking for an add-on?
Yeah. Good question. It's all words, right? We all have these different words. You know, I have a friend that is part of a culture. They do a culture assessment for culture fit. And right when I started feeling passionate about this culture fit versus culture ad, I was introduced to this great company that does great work. So I say culture fit versus culture ad, and it's not to knock somebody who believes in culture fit. But my belief is that when I hear culture fit, I hear George belongs in this box, right? We want George to fit with our culture at our company, and this is how we do our thing. But I'm at a place in my life where I don't want to do your thing. I want to do our, if it's really ours, then how does George and his characteristics, his emotions, his passions, you know, what moves his soul, how does that fit there? And so the mindset is that when we go to hire people in our company and our organization, We're not looking for them to fit who we are. We're looking for them to add to who we are. We want them to take us beyond where we are, because you think of it this way. If I bring you onto my team, you speak a language to a certain group of people that I may not be able to reach, that I may not be able to speak to, right? Your approach, maybe your shoes that you wear are different style than the shoes that I wear. And people may connect to your shoes, right? People connect to people for different purposes and reasons. And so when I think of culture fit, I think of culture become us versus culture add, where I say, listen, I want to add you so that we can reach those that you can speak to that I am not able to reach. And so that culture add is, how do we add to who we are as an organization? How do I add to my life and my journey with other people, right? So having you in my life as a friend, I'm adding you into it. I'm not saying, hey, fit to what I want, right? This is who the kind of friend that I need, and I want you to fit. No, I want you to be who you are, who you're designed to be, who you're created to be. And that's an add-on for me. That's a different piece that I have not experienced before. And so that's just a different mentality. Culture fit versus culture add is all about, I don't want you to fit into this box. I want you to add into where we are going.
Oh, boom. Yes, please. So good. So good. So I'm a big habits guy. What are some habits that, but I think we're definitely cut from the same cloth. So glad to have you on, buddy. Great stuff. I am a big habits guy, and I believe habits build our identity, lead us in the direction of who we would like to become. And it's the nuts and the bolts of the operation of the 6 inches between our ears. What kind of habits do we have to build today to become the kind of worker, the kind of spouse, the kind of friend, the kind of colleague, the kind of teammate, whoever that people want to add into their organization? What are the maybe one or two habits that this has to happen for you to become the kind of beast that you want to become?
I think when I talk about habits, and I encourage people to create positive habits, and this is something just a recent, specific order. The first habit that I would encourage people to do is the habit of self-care, right? The habit of taking care of you first. It's that, you know, when I think of the worst places for a person who's starving to die, it's a grocery store, right? The worst place for, you know, somebody who needs love is to be surrounded with people who really care, but we often don't take that time. And so one new habit that I've made a point is self-care. Whether that's, hey, I take an hour a week and I do something that George loves to do, right? Something that will help me not just emotionally, but mentally taking care of myself. Self-care is important. Number two, I would say, and it probably goes along with the self-care, but one thing that I really love to do now is to it's called the mental habit, right? It's the controlling the mindset. I always say two things happen. He who controls the conversation controls the outcome, but every battle that we face, every opposition, the opportunity, it all begins right in between here, right? The battle begins in the mind. Yeah. And so creating habits to speak life over yourself. And so daily, every day, something that I do is the four box breathing method. You know, I take four deep breaths. I hold it in for 4 seconds. I exhale for 4 seconds. Take 4 seconds, and then I do that same process. Inhale 4 seconds. Exhale. At the end of those four deep breaths, I speak one thing I want to accomplish today, and I speak one positive over myself. And it's just setting my mind for this day that today I want to accomplish this one thing. I may not be able to accomplish 10 things on my action list, but there's one thing that I'm going to do and accomplish. I'm going to do that. The second part is that I want to speak a word over myself, because you may hear some negativity. Somebody might not like you today. Somebody may speak death or, you know, harm, or you're stupid. But I started my day knowing off that George is grateful, right? It could be something simple as that. George grateful. And that is my word of the day. Sometimes, to be honest, I don't have a word and I just say love, you know, love myself, whatever it may be. But I take a moment every day to just create a habit. Those are my two habits that are important: self-care and then the mind care. Speak something over your life, just breathe. And before I go to sleep, I do the same thing. That way I end my day with my word in my life, right? I don't let somebody else's word be what's the last thought in my head. I speak life for myself.
So good, buddy. So good. That is great. So I'm walking into a workplace and I'm trying to figure out if this is the right place for me. Mm-hmm. If this is where I want to spend, you know, however many hours a day inside of, if this is the type of environment that I want to be inside of, I'm trying to figure this stuff out. Cause you know, right now there's a lot of people that are making pivots. A lot of people are trying to figure out whether they want to be an entrepreneur or if they just want to go to a different place. They need a change of scenery. They're trying to figure out that if this is it for me. So I walk into this place. What are some things that I should be looking for to know, is this the place for me? Is this a fit? Is this a place where I can be passionate? I have a chance to be great, has a chance to drive my engine. What are some things, maybe one or two things that we should, maybe they're questions or tips, things that we should be looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So with Lighthouse Recent Advisory, one of the recent stats state that new employees know within 3 days, within their first week, whether or not they're going to stay with the organization or not, mm-hmm. right? They already know within those first 3 days. What is it that makes somebody know whether or not they're going to stay? I believe the perception, and based on statistics, there's a couple of things that causes us to leave and or stay, right? Since the pandemic, over the last 2 or 3 years, we're somewhat forced in many industries to stay at home, right? Some organizations and industries obviously still working, going to work on a daily, but even those people have found more time to deal with themselves. What's one thing that a lot of people don't like to do? And that's be alone. During the pandemic, right? We not only went through the pandemic, but you also went through the racial tension, right? During that time with Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, all those things that were going on. And so all these things over the last couple of years have been built up. A few things that have taken place. We spent more time with our families, right? Some are happy about that. Some are so glad the daycare is back open and schools have started and the husbands can get out of the house, right? For the wives and the wives are back. Whatever it may be, we experienced a time together where we discovered new things about ourselves. One of the most important things that we as people started discovering is what we prioritize, right? What we truly care about and what can be done within the workplace that can, perceptionally wise, never be done. I can get my job done at a higher productivity like never before, not by being in the office, but by staying at home. I save 30 minutes on average to an hour drive for some people, depending on what, you know, city you're in. Here in Nashville, sometimes it's a 45 minute drive when it's only a 10 minute walk, right? And so the traffic is crazy, but we discover those things. People are not staying with organizations, and or they are staying with organizations because of leadership and because of culture. But leadership, the thing is that it's not just leaders that are creating a culture. We as people create the culture. Culture is simply this: how I feel, believe, and behave most of the time, right? So when you say, what is our company culture? It's not the wall, the print, the marketing on your website. The culture is how that person on the front line feels about the organization, because how they feel is what they then will become to believe, and how they believe will dictate how they behave most of the time. Mm. That's the culture, right? Mm. And so on the other side, you have leadership that then says, how do we make our people feel? How does our team feel about you as a leader? The psychological definition of belonging is that I feel accepted, respected, and appreciated by my leader. Right. And so those who feel that sense of belonging is tied directly to leadership. People want to be somewhere now that they belong. They don't want to just show up for a check. They don't want to just show up for a what they do. They want to show up with a why, with a cause, with a purpose, and then also somewhere where they feel like I belong here. Right. And it's important to them to have that sense of belonging, because they felt that at home. Right. They have that connection. They have that influence. right now, 54% of employees, we just did a research called PEACE, Performance, Engagement, and Culture Enablement at Lighthouse Research and Advisory. 54%, only 54% said that I am currently happy with my current position with no plans to leave. The other side of that says, you know what, in the next month to 6 months, 34% of those employees are planning on leaving. The other 12 saying, you know, I'm just not sure. They're kind of stuck in between. They like what they do. They may like the people that they're in it, but they may not have a direct connection with their leadership. And so there's that torn relationship where it says, you know, I want to be at a place where the culture is good. I have a sense of belonging and a why and a purpose to what I'm doing. We always know what we do as a job, but why are we doing it? Do we have that greater sense?
That's, man, it's freaking fantastic. All right, buddy. You've got, we're winding down here. We've had enough of you, Rogers Nation, enough filling the airwaves with positivity. We're kicking you to the curb. You got 30 to 45 seconds to talk to our audience right now, six continent wide. How can they begin to create the best version of themselves today? 30 to 45 seconds.
Yeah, I would say it starts with the leadership and self-leadership. I would say it goes back to those four questions. That's the root of everything. When you're wanting to, as I call, champion your purpose, whatever your purpose is, that why that motivates you, that makes you cry, I go back to understanding those four questions. And so I'll ask you, who are you? Do you know? That's an identity question. Who am I? Not what they say, not what they want me to do, but who am I? What do I want? What is my desire? What is my passion? What do I want out of these outcomes? And then the third question is, where am I going? Give yourself this own sense of a journey of direction that you ultimately control where you want to go in life. And then when you finally get to where you're going, who do you want to be when you get there? Define those things, champion your purpose, and lead the life you love. That's my word to you today.
So good. Let's carve out that radically authentic awesome in all of us today. I am so excited for our listeners, and I'm so grateful, buddy, to have had this opportunity to spend the last 20, 25 minutes with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it so much. You know, my goal is that everybody finds the meaning of life and that's filled with sameness and championing their purpose.
And I just want to put a quick plug in before we do take off. You just had a book come out in June of this is right now 2023. And I have no doubt. I mean, if listeners have just soaked up and absorbed the juice that you've brought to the table in this episode, you got to jump on it. We'll have the link in our notes. And if you have any interest in bringing this rock star to your town and having him keynote or talk to your business, talk to your people, would be a phenomenal get. The best investment we can ever make is the investment in ourselves. You'll never regret that. And so, yeah, we'll have all that in the notes, George. And so grateful to have you on. Make it a great day.
Appreciate it, my friend. Appreciate it. Thank you.